It's 24 minutes to 11 o'clock, and straight out of the traffic is David Coleman, who's joining us to talk about all your queries you have about your toddlers and tots and teens and anything else in between. You made it through the horrific traffic of Dublin City.
Well, it wasn't Dublin City so much, it was the M7 going eastbound. Can I say the M7?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Northbound, but it was just it was one of those things. I don't motorway traffic.
Twist that microphone around there or something like that. Sorry, yeah, like the you to go to the Muppet nose thing.
How's that now?
No, that's worse.
Ooh.
That's worse. Try that.
How's that now?
That's better.
Is it?
Yeah, I think marginally better. Yeah.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, I know, but it's just funny because they put the Muppet nose on the microphone, right?
Yeah.
And then sometimes
you can't even tell whether it's faced the right way.
That's.
So now I should be talking to the back.
I think you have it there, though. I think we're okay. I think we can hear each other.
I'll just sit on top of the microphone.
We're there. No, don't do that because that's inappropriate. But we have loads of questions for you and we'll get to them presently. How was your weekend, anyway? Sorry.
I had a great weekend.
Did
really,
you?
Really enjoyable weekend. Yeah, very, very pleasant. Just not a lot of doing a lot of things, but just really nice. Yeah,
yeah, just hanging out.
A bit on Saturday, but... Yeah, so be it. It was nice work.
Well, let's get down to some business now because we have gazillions of questions for you and I want to share them with you. 51552. Now, David, I have a 14-year-old son who's addicted to the Xbox. He's doing his junior cert but not studying. We've tried limiting playtime but nothing's working. He used to play sport but he's given up. He plays online against other people. He makes appointments to play. When we try and make plans as a family, he won't come anywhere because of the Xbox. Do I have to get rid of it completely? What should I do? What should I do? Anything.
You know, it might be time for something really radical like that just to see how he copes and how the family copes, because what seems to have happened is that they just drifted into a real habit where he just plays the Xbox and he's become slowly more and more used to it, loves it, you know, really engaged with it. A lot of his social, you know, network now is all based around Xboxing and meeting other kids online and playing the games and whatever. So I think, you know, if you want to see can he shift into a different gear, absolutely, just take it away, take it away. Tell him you're going to take it away for 2 weeks, and if you can show you that he can find balance by, you know, reinvesting in things that he's given up, maybe going back to some of the sports, hopefully doing a bit of study, although it's early days yet for the junior cert to be doing study. It is only October.
It's never too early to study for the junior cert.
Oh god, I just you know, I dread to think of all these youngsters who are just being, you know, told get in there, study. It's way too early to be studying.
I better just take a note of that because I have to be a bit more fair. Come on, should you not be in? Oh no, I'm trying into that annoying parent. Alright, what about another question? Could you ask David a question? I have a 14-year-old girl who always slept badly and still does.
Okay.
She will make me she will wake me 5 nights not out of 7 to say she can't sleep. She says nothing is bothering her, but it's going on for years. Should I take her to a doctor? Otherwise she's a very happy-go-lucky child.
A 14-year-old, did
you
say? Yeah, you know, it may not be necessarily that anything's happening, but again, you see, so much stuff that happens with children is just habit.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry.
Will I try to do them all together?
The sleeping. No, we'll take a break here. And the sleeping. We'll get back to the sleeping text in a second.
Be part of the action.
RTE.ie/2FM. Now, how's that, David?
I don't know. How is that? Does that sound any better? Do I sound like my normal me?
Now he's back.
Very good.
She doesn't sleep. She's 14. 5 nights out of 7, she's into the mother going, well, it doesn't seem to have a problem otherwise. What do we do?
Well, you see, again, it's habit. And what this girl now needs to learn is that actually she can cope, because what happens with children is that they ideally will soothe themselves to sleep. But if not, then they're going to rely on their parents to soothe them. And that's what this girl, it seems like, has just become habituated to. She just relies on her mum to be there, say the few words, and then she'll come down to the mum again and go, no, I really can't sleep. So it's like the mum has to be there to settle her. And a bit of a short, sharp shock at age 14. If there is genuinely nothing else really going wrong in her life, if the rest of her life is pretty settled, I would say to her, look, you know, I'm going to come up once, I'm going to say goodnight to you, and I'm going to check that you're okay, and then I am not visiting you, and you are not allowed to visit me.
Oh.
And just leave her be and let her cope, because part of it could be a learned helplessness, that she actually has come to the stage now she believes she can't cope without her mum when actually she can. And if the mum keeps facilitating it, then the difficulty is that the daughter would just keep using it because it suits her.
And sometimes you might hear, oh, I didn't get to bed till 2 and then I was up far as you weren't, because physically you wouldn't be able to walk down the stairs in the morning if they think that they didn't sleep as well as they did, but they did.
Yeah, and even if they don't sleep, even if she does lie awake tossing and turning until 2 o'clock, then chances are that'll happen for a couple of nights, by which time she will be so tired that she will fall asleep. And actually she needs to learn that actually she can do this for herself, and it's about giving her that sense of self-confidence that you can cope, you can manage on your own.
I would say thank you to David for his advice on how to speak to teenagers about, sorry, to kids, I should say, about stranger danger we talked about last week. That's great. I had a chat with my seven-year-old over the weekend after listening back to the podcast a few times. It was very helpful, so thanks so much. Well, that's great.
Good, I'm delighted to
it. Appreciate that, David. Now, another text. I'm looking on advice on how to deal with my nearly five-year-old daughter. The tantrums since June are out of control, very hard to handle. They're constant. They can happen at the drop of a hat. She has two baby brothers, 9 months and 22 months. That's probably your answer there. And this is affecting the whole family. We've tried everything. Good cop, bad cop, taking toys away, reward charts, etc. She just started school in September and often has tantrums before school, even in the schoolyard. H-E-L-P.
Capital letters with it?
Yes.
You know, the big thing there is that there's a huge amount of transition, a lot of change for that girl in particular. So she's had two little babies come along relatively quickly. And so I would imagine that she's feeling quite displaced now in the family, feeling like she has no particular role, that actually her mum and dad are just too busy, because there is that exponential jump. I know people say, oh, you know, you have another child and it's double the work. It's not. It's like triple or four times the work. Similarly, you have your third child and suddenly, again, it all just seems so much busier. So I could imagine that her nose has been rightly out of place and that she's feeling quite miffed about that. So some of her behaviour could be her way of trying to show you just how difficult it is for her to cope with the changes in her family. And then she has, on top of that, to get used to going to school as well, which couldn't be its own source of stress and anxiety for her, because she's trying to settle in, learn a whole new social language in terms of what the expectations are for her in the school and what the teacher expects of her and so on. So a little bit of empathy about how difficult her life is, even though she's only four going on five, will help a lot. Let her know that you can understand that you're not just, you know, the ones who come in kind of giving out all the time, because that will lead to a really negative cycle. So empathize with her, recognize that it is tough being her and being four and having, you know, two baby little babies around the house and starting school. And I think what you'll find is that she'll have to show you less that she's so upset and finding it so difficult, because she'll feel like you understand and that you get it. And I think you'll find she has less tantrums.
Okay, so try and reason with her.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even reasoning, but it's amazing just how a little bit of emotional support, emotional understanding actually makes a huge difference to children, and they don't have to keep showing us. It's, their behaviour really changes when they feel we understand them.
Okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Ben, good morning to you.
Good morning.
David here for you. You've a young fella, have you?
I have a couple of young fellas. Okay. I have one young fella who I bring to football.
Yeah.
And
how old is he, Ben?
He's seven.
Okay.
Almost eight. And been going for around a year, but it's become problematic in the last few months, in that it's a drama before we go. He's crying that he doesn't want to go. I cajole him and work to get him to go. We go, he has a good time when he's there. Mm-hmm. We come back and everything seems okay, and now it started to happen that maybe a few days before the weekend, he's talking about it. He doesn't want to go. And it's really starting to become a problem for him, I think. And I suppose the thing that's on my mind is that I don't want him to give it up, in that I don't want him giving up things that he finds difficult, just because they're difficult, if that makes sense. But at the same time, it's starting to distress him a bit, because he's talking now from Wednesday about Saturday and how I don't want to go to football and stuff like that, you know, and I just can't, I don't know what to do, whether to keep bringing him or not to bring him.
Hi, Ben, how are you?
How you doing?
I think, you know, the key thing here, I suppose, is to be guided by your child a little bit. Something is going on for him at the soccer, and whether it be that he is comparing himself perhaps already at age seven and looking at other kids playing soccer and thinking, well, I'm no good and I don't fit in, or maybe he's getting subtle or less subtle signals from some of the other children that he doesn't fit in. Maybe he doesn't feel he's connected with the coaches. Whatever it is that about the soccer, something isn't working for him. And so the key bit is not necessarily to stop bringing him to soccer, but to try and work out what it is that isn't working. So that's about going, talking to the coaches, see what they can see, you know, spend a lot of time yourself. I'm sure you're there anyway. If he's only seven, you're probably there in the touchline.
They're watching, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, you know, how do you see him fitting in? How do you see him mixing with the other children? How do you see him in terms of how he talks about his own level of skill, such as, you know, children at age seven might feel that they have skill in a game like soccer. I mean, does he seem comfortable with all that kind of stuff when he's there?
He's good at mixing with the other children, you know, and when he gets into it, you can see him having a little fun and playing around and stuff like that. He's he has an older brother who's good at football, and I wonder sometimes, he only starting off, he's not particularly good, I suppose you'd say. He's a little timid of himself, and he's not overly physical, so if he gets a bump, it really annoys him, you know, where as some of the other children, you know, they get a bump and they'd get up and go on and they'd run through a wall, you know.
The other thing I wondered was, would
he be comparing himself to his brother? Because he does get a little caught up sometimes that his brother's good at something. And
yeah, I would say that's probably closer to it by the sounds of it, Ben, because, you know, what he might also have is a sense of your expectation of him, because he sees his brother doing well, he sees his brother being good at soccer, he probably gets a real sense from you that you like that, that you think that's great, you're probably very supportive of his brother, and so he feels like he has to then match up to the same standard, and if he feels he doesn't match up to the same standard, then he could of course feel like he's failing, and maybe he just doesn't want to go through that every week. So, you know, talk to him about that, talk to him about his brother, talk to him about you know, how he sees his brother playing and what you like about it, the way his brother plays and what you like about him. And the key bit for you then is to give him a message that you really enjoy him playing because he enjoys it, or because he gets the benefit of just being out in the air and mixing with other kids and whatever it is, that it's not necessarily about, you know, certain expectations you have of him. And I think that might be where he's getting distressed, that he feels like, you know, he's not quite measuring up in your eyes even. And it may even help if you're not there watching, perhaps. Maybe let his mum go some of the time to watch him, so that he doesn't feel like he's under your scrutiny, perhaps even.
Okay, I'll do that. So
sure, give it a lash anyway, and sure, let us know how you get on.
Yeah, good.
Thanks,
man, Ben. Much. Best of luck with that.
Right. Thank you.
Do you think some kids hate competitiveness, hate competition, hate, don't like the sports thing, don't like to be in that thing where it's the first up there, first and then one, two, three, you know?
Yeah, I think lots of children don't like it because naturally they don't feel like they're actually making it to the top. And so when you don't feel like you're making it to the top, then the most natural thing in the world is not to want to be part of that. And I mean, that's part of the reason I think why, say, for example, the FAI or in the hurling and the GAA, you know, they don't have competitive games for the under 12s, because actually that age group, 7, 8, 9, you know, find it really hard to compete. It's not so much the competing, actually. They find it hard to lose, and coping with the disappointment is really difficult for them. So I think that's what, if as a parent you see that your child doesn't seem want to participate, it may be that they just really struggle with the disappointment of not feeling like they're doing great.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a handwritten letter saying, I have two boys, 7 and 5. 7-year-old has started lately to put himself down, saying, I'm stupid, I can't do that because I'm no good, everything is my fault. I keep telling him he's not, he's great, lovely boy, don't call yourself stupid. I put a lot of it down to when he gets too tired, he gets quite sensitive. Now, we had a rough 2012, and sometimes I think it's all down to that. Hopefully it's a phase and down to tiredness. I'd be very grateful if you could shed some light on my query.
So the 7-year-old is the older of the two.
That's
and
right,
I wonder how the mum and dad coped with the testing 2012. And I wonder, you know, because sometimes children just pick up on a whole mood, and actually they can become real touchstones for what's going on in a family. And so it might be that actually how he now is reflects how other people really felt, like actually they struggled their way through it, they didn't do a great job, things weren't good, and that they weren't able to succeed in the way that they wanted to. And perhaps maybe this young lad has picked up some of that. So some of it might be about the parents' own, how they're approaching the world, their outlook on life, and have they got a very positive, optimistic outlook on life now that things hopefully will have turned around for them if 2012 was so difficult. Maybe 2013 has been a bit kinder. So that, I think, will help him, because he needs to feel like, yeah, you know, I can do things. And so it ultimately comes back to self-esteem, I think, with children, which is, for me, you know, composed of two main parts: their sense of lovability, are they lovable, are they likable, and their sense of capability, are they able to do stuff, are they appreciated for what their capacity is. And I think, you know, in that situation, you could definitely try and build up, you know, either or both of those, but perhaps more about his sense of capability, you know, the sense that he's actually able to find the things that he's good at, you know, give him some responsibility. I know he's only 7, but give him some responsibility, maybe helping out with some small chores, that you give him the feedback about how useful that is, how helpful that is, how it really helps the family, so that he actually feels like he's got a really valued role. And I think that might give him that little boost that he needs.
Super. All right. I normally agree with David, but I have to disagree with the comment you made about too early to study for the junior cert. I feel I have to get my son into the habit now for studying, in case of, instead of cramming at the last minute, I allow him Friday night and Saturday night off, revision on Sunday, and normal revision during the week. Yvonne from Boyle.
look, you know, if your child by the time they get into third year hasn't got a habit of doing their homework and studying, then, you know, starting it off in third year is just too late, you know. And I think it's all about the build up to it, the preparation to it. You know, for most children, youngsters, I suppose, not children, I suppose, by the time they're heading for the junior cert, for most young people, though, you know, if they're at this stage of the year, I think, you know, teachers, I'm sure, will also be on the phone saying I'm mad too. But I think if they're doing their homework regularly, then that's enough at this stage. There's plenty of time come Christmas to really start thinking about the longer term. I mean, you know, 6 months preparation for a test is a long time at age 14, 15. Yeah. And I just think, you know, if they're expected to work now through their midterm break, for example, because perhaps they might have tests coming up just after that, they've got mocks coming up. You know, when did they actually get a break? Because then suddenly their midterm is gone, their Christmas is gone, and their Easter is gone. And you're expecting them then to function and to be normal, balanced human beings, when in fact, here we are, you know, cracking the whip and forcing them down to study too soon. So I just think, you know, it's not about kind of letting them just do whatever they want and do nothing. Absolutely get them in the habit of doing their homework, make sure that they're putting time in, that they're maintaining their grades. But it's not necessarily about, you know, studying. I mean, how much of it would be retained, you know, come next June anyway, if they're doing it now? Because, you know, my understanding in most schools is that most teachers are hoping to start their revision process anyway after Christmas, that they'll have the courses finished by Christmas, and then it's all about revision from then on. So, you know, I just think, you know, 14, 15 years, give them a break. You know, they have a tough enough time come the Leaving Cert, and you know, we'll all feel the pressure then. But why bring that pressure onto yourself for the Junior Cert?
A lot of the teachers are giving little tests and things like that anyway. So
they are.
That gets you into the swing of things, that isn't just homework, but there's a bit of study involved in that, I mean, too. So.
And most people will know if the youngster is lackadaisical and a bit feckless and couldn't care less, you'll know that by now. And, you know, trying to force them to study is probably going to be ineffective anyway. You've got to find something for those kind of youngsters that makes it worth their while, something that is, I suppose, a carrot for them. Why should they bother putting in any effort? What's coming out the other end for them in terms of their Junior Cert?
Could you ask David to help? My son is 17 and has started to smoke weed. What can I do? I am brokenhearted.
Yeah, and I'd say, and fair enough to you for being brokenhearted. I think it's a scourge, because, you know, I think dope, weed, whatever you want to call it, has just become almost acceptable. I mean, the number of parents I meet now who kind of go, oh yeah, well, he smokes a bit of dope now, you know, and I mean, we've talked about it, and, you know, I've been really clear about what I believe, but they kind of let their kids continue to smoke dope. And I mean, so much evidence is there in terms of, you know, motivation, growth, the whole lot, for young people. And it's such an easy thing for young people to fall into a habit of just smoking a little bit of dope, then a little bit more dope, and then a lot of dope. And actually then they're non-functioning citizens. So anything that I think that really changes your how your brain is functioning is not necessarily a good thing for young people.
So that rules out booze.
Booze, drugs,
too much television.
Yeah. Well, you see, yeah. But yeah, too much porn. I mean, everything, you know, moderation and all things. But certainly when it comes to actually mind altering, which dope does, it changes the chemistry of your brain. That's just not a good thing for young people. So yeah, be heartbroken, absolutely. Talk to him about how upset you feel about him smoking this stuff and the dangers that you see in it. Ultimately, he's 17, you know, he's going to have to make his own choices, and so be it. But that shouldn't stop any parent from being really clear about the values that they hold. And if you don't like drugs, say it. Don't just put up with it.
I remember my dad used to always say about particularly cannabis or anything else, he'd say two things. One, because he was a psychiatrist, so he'd say he saw a lot of psychosis with too much of it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing was it killed ambition.
Yeah.
I tell you, the psychosis I can't argue with, but the
motivation, absolutely, motivation, ambition.
That's terrible. I mean, that's, you know, they're too... Yeah.
But you see an awful lot of young people now in their mid-20s, and they're completely aimless, drifting. And I think a huge amount of that for some young people is because they just smoked dope excess all the way through their late teens and early 20s.
All right, David Coleman. As always, thanks so much indeed. We'll talk to you shortly. Thanks very much. Yeah, thanks by the way for all those texts, 51552. As always, too many to deal with today, but we do appreciate them, and we'll get to some another time.
Find us on Facebook.
2FM Official.